Hello, hello everyone, and welcome to the third innings. My name is Maxwell Charlesoff, and alongside me, as always, is my co-host and good friend, Prasuk Jain. So, Prasuk, three tests down, one to go, and I met about again. What do you see happening with this pitch?
Well, we are going back to the same ground. We're going back to the newly renamed Narendra Modi Stadium. We are expecting the same amount of crowd. Probably people are going to come in numbers in the first 2 days. Not going to wait for the third day tickets.
Are they even selling third day tickets?
I hope so. In India's favor, of course. But we are going to the adjacent pitch in the same ground, but we are expecting a few things to be different. First, to start with, we are expecting a different ball. And we all know how we spoke about this in the last episode as well, how the pink ball behaved on the pitch because of the presence of a lot of lacquer on the ball. That's the reason a lot of dismissals we saw on the straight balls. That's something we are not going to see with the red ball, hopefully. And that is something that can determine if the pitch was actually bad, if the pitch behaves in the same way or not, or was it the mixture of the ball, the batting, and the pitch itself. So that is something we are going to see in this game and see how they perform.
Yeah. I believe we've coined the term the Joe Root effect for the pink ball with the lacquer and the lacquer grass. I've read some talks in the local papers in India that this pitch might be a bit more batsman friendly, more due to not wanting to tarnish the reputation of a new ground. Have you heard the same things? And if so, what do you think we have in store?
I have heard the same thing indeed, and it could help England. It could be the only chance that England can have in leveling the series if they get a batting friendly surface.
Not just England's only chance, but that's also Australia's only chance now of making that World Test Championship final.
Absolutely.
But of course, like we mentioned before the start of the pink ball test, it's still gonna turn. Just because we hear these reports that it's gonna be more batsman friendly, doesn't mean it's going to be batsman friendly, it's going to be more batsman friendly. So there's still going to be lots of turn. Still expecting turn from day one. But we're going to have to wait and see to see how much. How many days do you think this test is going to last?
It's now becoming difficult, more and more difficult to answer this question. But having said that it's going to be a more batting friendly surface, I expect it to go into the last day. I hope for it to go into the last day, because it's going to be the last test we see in the coming times, at least for these two teams. Maybe not for England, but at least for India. But I hope for it to go in the last day. But in terms of the prediction, I would say at least day four.
Mm-hmm. I would be hedging my bets on day four. I think a day three finish is more likely than a day five finish. Mm-hmm.
Well, it also depends on how they bat, because we saw in the last test it could have gone into day three if the batsmen applied themselves a bit more. So it all depends on that as well.
Then of course the toss is going to become crucial in this last test as well. How crucial do you think that toss is going to be?
I think it's going to be more crucial for England, because as said, having that batting friendly surface is the best chance for them to level the series. And to win this game for England, I think the best chance for them is to win the toss, and bat. And bat big, as Root wanted to do in the last couple of tests as well. If India wins the toss, I don't see England getting back from there. And it's going to be, I'm expecting it to be a big scoring game.
So for India, it's a case of toss jeeta, match jeeta. But for England, it's toss jeeta, maybe match jeeta.
Toss hara is game over.
Ooh, I'll have to add that to my arsenal. Dos hara. I'll say that when we rock up playing a team this year. Dos hara. Dos hara. All right. Once again, it's important who these teams are going to face up against. So obviously there's not going to be that many changes for India besides a couple of force ones maybe. Who do you see rolling out for this Indian outfit?
I don't expect a lot of changes, but including the first one, Bumrah has left the squad for personal reasons, so he's definitely out. We can see Umesh Yadav coming in to replace him, sort of a like-for-like seamer. It could also mean that the pitch is going to be a bit more spin friendly, the fact that Bumrah is leaving.
Or perhaps the same level of spin as the previous one. It's hard to get more spin friendly than what we've seen.
I hope it doesn't get more spin friendly than that. But we can see Umesh Yadav coming in for sure. And then then there's a debate about Kuldeep or Sundar, because they are both like for like spinners in terms of the direction that the ball spins. So it's going to be a question of, do they want a wrist spinner who spins more, or do they want someone who can bat a bit?
And the control of washing machine, Sundar. Put him on a spin cycle.
Absolutely. And the control. That's going to be an interesting debate. That's going to be an interesting selection for the selectors.
Mm. Tell me, you're Ravi Shastri. Mm-hmm. Who would you pick, Kuldeep or Sundar?
As Ravi Shastri, I would pick Sundar.
And what about Ravi Shastri when he's not 5 years deep? Still Sundar.
But if I were Virat Kohli, I would pick Kuldeep, just to give him that match experience, that match practice, which he hasn't got in the last 2 years, and just to give him a chance to show what he has. I'm pretty sure he's itching sitting on the sidelines with these turning pitches, and he's waiting for the chance, especially when Sundar doesn't get to bowl enough. I hope Kuldeep gets to play. But what do you see for England?
Well, I see someone else who's itching on the sidelines to bowl on these spinning pitches coming back in. Broad played the last two tests. England's taken this rotational policy pretty seriously. I don't see him playing three in a row. And I see them realising their mistakes, hopefully, and playing Bess. So I see Bess coming in for Broad. I think Anderson's going to play because they want that control. I think Archer's going to play because he didn't bowl badly in the last test. They want that pace and that bounce. I don't really see any other changes being made. I would like to see a kind of a shuffle in the batting order. I think we'll get to that in a second, but I don't see any other changes being made.
You think there's any chance Mark Wood might get to play a game?
I don't think so. I think if there was a chance Mark Wood was going to play in this series, he would have played last test.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they would have rested Broad in the last test and played Wood instead. I have a plan. Though, Prasuk, I have a plan that I'm giving out for free to the England coaching setup. Very generous. It's my plan of how do we fix England. Okay,
I think you should sell it.
Okay.
I don't think you should give it out for free.
I don't know. I'm feeling generous today. I'm feeling generous. I have a bit of pity for them of how they're going. Step one of Max's grand plan of how to fix England: trust Dom Bess. Okay, I'm going to give you some stats here. He's played 3 matches in England's tour of Asia recently. That's 2 against Sri Lanka, 1 against India. In that time, he's picked up 17 wickets at 22.4, an economy rate of 3.2.
Wow.
A little bit leaky with runs at times, but the overall economy rate of 3.2 isn't bad. It's not bad. In the first and only test he played in this Indian series, he picked up Kohli, Rahane, Pujara, and Pant in the first innings of that first test on a good wicket to bat on. So imagine what he would have done on these spinning tracks. In that test, he picked up 4 for 76 in the first innings and 1 for 50 in the second, Washington Sundar being his sole wicket in the second. He gutted that Indian batting lineup, and really he set up that English victory. Not only that, but England won the test, and one would have thought, okay, they won the test, the spin twins are going quite well, let's play them again in the second test. Nope, dropped. What makes the dropping even harsher is he had scores of 34 and 25 with the bat in that first test.
Much needed batting.
Much needed batting in the lower order. In that last test, it looked like they had 4 number 11s. It was ridiculous. Archer, he might be able to bat a bit in England, but he hasn't really shown that in the test arena. Definitely can't bat in these conditions. Anderson, Broad, walking wickets, especially in these conditions. They need a little bit more stability to partner really with folks down the order. One thing India does really well is, or have been doing better now, is they have Patel, who hasn't really scored that many runs recently, but they have him in the side along with Sundar and Ashwin to really partner Pant, or even just partner with Ashwin towards the end of those innings. England, through their selection, don't have that. So when you get to folks, they just need one more wicket and they can just pick up the wickets at the other end. Yeah. And we saw that when Foulkes got his 44 not out. Mm-hmm. He could have gone on and scored an 80-odd and really set up the game, but he didn't have anyone to bat with. So that's point number one. Step two to fix...
I'm writing down these points, by the way.
Thank you. Step two to fix England. Bring Pope up from number six to number three. This is not a promotion on the weight of scoring runs. This is a promotion on... they need him to score runs. And he... I don't see him scoring runs at number six. He looked clueless in this previous test, batting at number six. The ball is simply turning too much for him at that stage. Get him in early. He's a young guy, new to the team. There's starting to be some question marks, mostly by myself, about whether he is fit for the test arena currently. I do think he's going to be a good test player, but there's questions about whether he's ready for the test arena right now. And I think giving him the best chance by bringing him up to free, where the ball's not spinning as much, maybe he gets to face some seamers for once in this series, gives him a chance of scoring runs. Not only that, but it brings him out of a possible collapse. Because every time he's come into bat, he's been in the middle of a collapse. And you know, in a batting collapse, it's so much pressure on you, so much more pressure on you to really stop that collapse. And I don't think he's up to that just right now, but you bring him up to number three, puts him out of that pressure a bit, lets him score a bit more freely, lets him kind of play his natural game as much as he can in these conditions. And as a result of step number two, step number three is Bairstow down to number six. More stats time. Mm-hmm. Bairstow's average at number six, 37.2. Average at number three, 33.82. So not a big difference. Really not a big difference, but what it does show is he is comfortable batting at six, more than comfortable batting at six. One could say more comfortable batting at six than at number three. But my main point is it cannot be worse than the last test. It can't be worse than two ducks. No, trust me, I have more ducks than I can count. It can't be worse than two ducks. In his last 10 tests, he has an average of 20.16. If England are going to keep him in the side, they need to let him play his natural game. And if he's down at number six and he's in the middle of a collapse, what's another wicket to that collapse? He's not scoring runs at number three. He scored... people say he had a good series in Sri Lanka, but he had an okay series in Sri Lanka. He scored 47, 35, 28, 29. He got starts. He showed he could score in those scenarios, but didn't go on with it. Now, if you extend the series in Sri Lanka back a bit, these were his scores in his last 10 tests. So 20 innings. 0, 0, 8, 6, 52, 30, not out, 4, 36, 17, 25, 22, 14, 1, 9, 47, 35, not out, 28, 29, 0, 0. Nice little pairs to cap off the end there. He hasn't passed 50 in his last 15 innings, and 9 of his last 20 innings have been single-digit scores. Something needs to change, and I think bring him down the order, give him a license to frill, a hell-for-lever approach. He can sweep all he bloody wants. Just something needs to change.
That's awful for a number three batsman.
Yeah. So that means my team ends up being Crawley, Sibley, Pope, Root, Stokes, Bairstow, Foulkes, Bess, Leach, Archer, Anderson. I think that feels like a more stable, more trustworthy English lineup. I still wouldn't trust them with anything, but...
interesting. And just because we are discussing England's plan, maybe I can chip in. I can provide another free plan for them.
Tell me.
I have it very similar to yours. I would just dig into the batting order. I have Crawley and Sibley at the start. Mm-hmm. No doubt about them. But what I want them to do is, I want the captain to tell them that their job is to stay in for the first hour. Mm-hmm. At least for the first spell of bowling. Stay in. Doesn't matter how much you score, but stay in. At least they don't start the innings with a scoreboard pressure of none for one or 10 for two. That sort of a score. Then I want Root to be at number three. I believe in Test cricket, number three is the place for the best batsmen in the team. We see this from all other top nations. India, Australia, New Zealand. The number three batsman is the most solid batsman. And Root should take that role of anchoring the innings. And everyone else can play around him?
Well, we've seen that tradition kind of fade recently. So Smith bats at four, Colley bats at four, Williamson bats at four. And I think it's just... But I get what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I think England need Root in as early as possible without him being opener. So having him in at three really can stop a batting collapse from being one for none to being none for two. And those two wickets are a big difference. Yeah, but I get what you're saying.
But you're right. But in those scenarios, we've also seen that has happened because when the team has someone solid to be at number three. So India has Pujara, who is... I can bet my life on him.
Yeah. Batting. Australia's Labuschagne.
Australia now is Labuschagne. So they have someone solid at number three, and then the number four batsman can solidify the innings even further.
Yeah.
But having Bairstow at number three for England, or Lawrence, who hasn't played a lot, then it adds up the pressure on Root.
There's no solidity in that. It's all liquid.
Maybe gas.
Gas.
And to relieve Root of that pressure and letting him do what he does best is to consolidate runs and take the innings forward, then I would have Pope at four instead of three. I would have Pope at four to not put that extra pressure on him to be at number three and do that job. I would have him at four early enough to probably face the newer ball, but also under the guidance of Root, because hopefully Root is there and they can stitch a partnership together. Root can guide him. And again, as you said, he can get a chance to direct the batting instead of facing the consequences of the first five batsmen. Then I would have Stokes. But for Stokes, I would want the team management to define his role, because he has seen a bit confused in the recent past as to what his role is. Should he attack? Should he defend? How exactly should he pace his innings? So having defined his role in Test cricket would really do him a favor. Then I would play Bairstow for exactly the same reason. So let him play with a similar approach that he has in one day cricket. Give him the license to unleash himself. Give him the license to see ball, hit ball.
Kind of a Rishabh Pant.
Exactly, kind of a Rishabh Pant. So give him the freedom to do whatever he wants. If he wants to be patient, good for him. But
he's already doing whatever he wants.
Exactly. But then you won't blame him because he's not a number three anymore.
Exactly.
Then I would bring in Bess, someone who is desperately wanting to be in this side on these sort of tracks. But I would want him to be trusted by the management, rightly mentioned by you. He can use that trust. We have seen with the Indian spinners as well that, especially when they play IPL, they have that pressure scenario facing all sorts of batsmen who can hit big. And they learn how to bowl full to them. They learn to be brave, and they don't bowl short just to be afraid. I want the management to put in that sort of a confidence in both the spinners, in Bess and Leach. I'm not saying they're not bowling full enough, but just to have that trust, just to have that back.
Let them do their job.
Let them do their job. If they fail in a couple of matches, it's okay. Your job is to spin the ball, get wickets, do that in the next game.
That's what they've been doing. Yet they get dropped.
Yeah, exactly. They have been picking wickets. They have been doing their job perfectly, but they have been getting dropped. Yes, they have leaked a bit of runs, but that happens in the start of the career, and just let them face it.
Yeah, he's 23, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you drop someone like someone of that age, it's not going to help him. So I would have Bess and then Leach, and then I would have Archer. Maybe Wood plays. If Wood plays, then Wood plays in that position.
Especially because of Archer's elbow injury.
Yeah. And Wood can bring in similar pace as well, 150 clicks. And then I would have someone from Anderson and Broad. So having that experienced role as well. So this is what I would have for the English team. A plan for them to maybe have a chance in the fourth game.
Well, out of that, do you see any bold predictions happening in this final test?
I really want Pujara to score that ton. It's been 2 years, more than 2 years. The last century he scored was... It's been 27 innings. The last century he scored was in Sydney in 2019. And I'm pretty sure it's a bit difficult to bat on these surfaces, but what we have heard, it's if it's a bit batting friendly, I am backing him on that. And since the last time he scored his century, his average has dropped from 59.19 to 46.82 as well. And he has dropped two places in the ICC test rankings. He must be very hungry, and I'm backing him. I'm backing him to get that century. What about you? What's your bold prediction?
A little less bold numbers-wise, but I think equally as challenging.
Mm-hmm.
I think Pujara in his home conditions getting 100 is probably about the same difficulty as my bold prediction, which is simply getting 50. That is my bold prediction.
And also being an opener, it's the job is even more tough.
Yeah, but he got 87 in the first test off 286 balls. That's the key for me. If he goes back to his natural mindset of just grinding out the opposition like a Pujara, taking as much time as he needs, then I see him going big. But if he goes like he did in the previous test, where, oh, if I don't swing hard here, I'm just going to get out, then I see him failing. But I've put my faith in him. I've knelt at the altar of Dom Sibley, and made my prayers, and I hopefully see him going big.
I hope none of the teams, none of the batting teams in this test have that mindset of the only way to survive is to swing. I hope that changes. I hope we can see a bit more batting, a bit more competition. At least another 2 sessions of cricket. Although we have to wake up early, we have to wake up at 5 o'clock. But I don't mind that. I love that.
Sets up the day nicely. Well, that's all we have time for today. We hope you're as excited for this final test as we are. If you have any questions, drop us a line on Twitter or Instagram at the third innings with the number 3. Or leave us a comment on our YouTube channel just by searching it in. All of our podcasts are up on there as well. And as always, it's been a pleasure having your company. And we will see you soon.
Very excited. Thank you.